Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, daf Kuf Beis. Most of the today's daf is going to revolve around the topic of brachos, not necessarily connected to Pesach, Erev Pesach, first cup of wine for the Seder, which is what the Mishnah was talking about. We'll come back to all that. But the Gemara used our Mishnah as an excellent opportunity to talk about the general idea of Kiddush. We started off the whole parak by comparing and contrasting Erev Pesach to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontov. Is there a difference? Are they the same? Machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. And then the Gemara goes on to a topic of the Minog, which was making Kiddush and Shul. So it used to be that in the good old days they used to make Kiddush and Shul. Those good old days still continue in many shuls around the world. The Minog has not continued in many shuls around the world. How's that for really almost no information? There was a minhag that they used to make Kiddush and Shul, and was it helpful? So obviously the answer has to be yes, otherwise they wouldn't do it. But to what degree is it helpful? So it afforded us yesterday on Daf Kuf Aleph the opportunity to talk about the big concept of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, that when you make Kiddush has to be in the place that you eat. So as the Gemara noted yesterday, and according to most Amoraim, who do we point out yesterday? Shmuel and Rabba and there's one other, Ravuna. Yes, Shmuel, Rabba, and Ravuna, who all said that there's this requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. So you make Kiddush in Shul and you go home, so for you the Kiddush was pointless because you didn't eat at the Shul, you're going home to eat. So for you the Kiddush didn't mean anything. So according to these Amoraim, which is the accepted opinion, where Kiddush has to be B'Makom Seuda, it has to be in the same place that you're eating, so then what was the point of making Kiddush in Shul? So the Gemara answered yesterday, because people stayed in Shul. Because there were a group of people who were passing through, visiting, they didn't have any, or maybe poor people, they didn't have anywhere to stay, so they stayed in Shul. So for them, Kiddush was effective. But for anyone going home, though, Kiddush was ineffective. As I pointed out yesterday, already the late Rishonim, right, already culminating with the Shulchan Aruch, really tried to do away with this minhag, meaning this minhag of making Kiddush and Shul. Already the Shulchan Aruch, you saw in the Shulchan Aruch, I quoted it yesterday, he was not complimentary about this minhag. He wanted the minhag to be abolished. And the truth of the matter is that even Rishonim, earlier than the Shulchan Aruch, also made an attempt to abolish the minhag. And so nowadays, you pretty much land where some do and some don't. Fine. Okay, but that's how we got into the topic of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, because we spoke about this minhag of Kiddush and Shul. There is another issue, which is the following. You drink wine in Shul, let's say you're the one who made Kiddush, let's say you're the one who drank the wine, and you go home. So do you need to make another bracha on wine? Meaning not a Shabbos question, or just a general brachos question. By moving location, does it warrant you, does it demand that you make a new bracha? So that was another topic that we discussed yesterday, and essentially the Gemara's answer was no. Yeah, I'm sorry, right, the Gemara's essential answer was, yes, you have to make a new bracha. But this was subject to a debate, and we're right now in the middle of the debate discussing this issue. We're on Daf Kuf Aleph. I'm going to start from Kuf Aleph and Aleph, even though today's Daf is Kuf Beis. Today I should catch up to where we should be. The Gemara today is relatively one long run-on sentence, so I'll pause, obviously, in the middle to hopefully provide some explanation. But basically, it's going to be one long run-on sentence, and so I'll start the sentence today at the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, where we're starting with the words Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan am Rav Yedeyai Nami Yatsu. Rav Yochanan says, making Kiddush and Shul, perfect, meaning it helps. It helps for Kiddush, and it helps even for wine. So that when you go home, not only do you not have to make Kiddush according to Rav Yochanan, you don't even have to drink wine. Sorry. You don't even have to make a bracha over wine. So how does Rav Yochanan know that? So v'azda Rav Yochanan tamid, amar Rav Chinen bar Abaye, amar Rapidas, amar Rav Yochanan, echad shinu yain. Now we're going to turn the page, but we're going to turn back in just a moment. Echad shinu yain, v'echad shinu makom, ein sarach levarech. Shinu yain, or if I change wines in the middle of a meal, or shinu makom, for I change location, ein sarach levarech, there's no requirement to make a new bracha. That is the words of Rav Yochanan, and Rashbam says this a couple of times. Rav Yochanan says this totally unqualified. Meaning Rav Yochanan seems to be of the opinion that changing location doesn't affect your bracha at all. Meaning, although he does say it in the context of wine, it could be understood that Rav Yochanan means this universally. Good. Let's go back to a topic which I touched on yesterday, but let's just go into it a little bit in depth and just to discuss Rashbam and Tosfos, and that's the following. Shinui Yayin, right? A topic which we're going to discuss now, and we're not going to be discussing for the rest of this morning. Changing wine in the middle of the meal. Meaning, what happened? We're drinking a bottle, a large group of people. We finished the bottle. We now turn to a new bottle of wine. So Rav Yochanan says that if I change wines, I don't need to make a new bracha, a new bor priya gafen. What might I have thought? Well, it's a new bottle of wine. Maybe we only had in mind the one bottle that was in front of us. We weren't expecting a new bottle of wine. There's something along those lines. The point that Rav Yochanan is making is that even though it's new wine, even though it's a different brand of wine, even though it's a different taste of wine, but still when all said and done, wine is wine is wine. And therefore you don't have to make a new bor priya gafen. Okay. That's what Rav Yochanan said in the Gemara. And to that degree, obviously, that we hold of. But there's a bracha which the Gemara here doesn't discuss, which the Gemara in Brachos does discuss, which the Rashbam over here comments on, and Tosfos comments on as well. And that is the following. Although you don't make a new bor priya gafen, but there is a new bracha that you should be saying, and that is the bracha of Atov HaMeitiv. Meaning that when you introduce a new bottle of wine in the course of the meal, so there's this bracha that's mentioned in the Masechta Brachos, which I know, of course, makes sense, and that's the bracha of Atov HaMeitiv. If you look at the Rashbam inside, I'll read parts of the Rashbam. I think I read some of it yesterday. It's the last Rashbam on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. It's on the right-hand side. The Rashbam writes, Shevi lo yam yichavet zachar v'yesh lo tam mishuna ugaru o mishubach in tzarech levarech shenis al hayayin. So you don't have to make a new bor priya gafen. Right? The Rashbam says that's what Rav Yochanan taught us. However, if the second bottle of wine is better than the first bottle of wine, now better, of course, is a question of taste and opinion. Maybe it's a question of price tag. But for our purposes of this discussion, let's just simply say it's better. So the Rashbam says that the bracha that you should be making is Hatov V'Hametiv. This is also echoed by Tosfos. If you look at Tosfos on the other side of the Amud, on the other column, so Tosfos says, Miu, it's the last Tosfos on the Amud, Hatov V'Hametiv Tzarech Levarech Kedamrin Ba'aroah. So even though you don't have to make a new bor priya gafen when we're starting a new bottle of wine, but we do have to make this bracha called Hatov V'Hametiv. Perish Rashbam Dafka Echad Meshubach Min Arishon V'Chein Be'Elchos Gadol V'Chein Mashma Yerusham Mitzav Ketzem Evarachim. But that's only if the second bottle is better than the first. And he quotes the Rashbam, and he quotes the Halachas Gedolos, and he quotes the Yerushalmi also that records this view. Okay. Tosfos grapples with the idea that maybe it's not true. Maybe if the second one is worse than the first one, you still make it fine, but. The accepted halacha, like the Rashbam, like the halachas gedolos, is that this is only going to be true if it's better. Take a look at those two last lines of Tosfos. So one other point I want to just bring out, and then we're going to go on to the Gemara. V'tzarech levarech atov ha-meitiv bein b'shasuda bein shelo b'shasuda. So Tosfos points out, doesn't matter whether you're in the middle of the meal, you're not in the middle of the meal, that's going to be totally irrelevant to this discussion, meaning once you're having a better bottle of wine, you make a tova ametiv. V'yachid ein sarach levarach ileka achrina bahadei, k'demuchach baroa. Just a general rule to know, it's good rule to know, hatova ametiv, that bracha is only stated if there are multiple beneficiaries of that item, meaning, if I'm the only one drinking alone, which in general is extraordinarily sad, I'm the only one drinking alone, so then you do not make a bracha Hatov HaMeitiv. Hatov HaMeitiv is not only if I'm the one who's enjoying this new bottle of wine, but others are enjoying it as well. Right? And Tosfos points out, that's the Gemara in Brachos, that Hatov HaMeitiv is only stated when there are more than one beneficiary of an item. V'dafki b'yayin mevarachim. Now, a general question, which probably is an obvious one. Why? Meaning, it's a simple question. Why are we making this bracha v'atov ha-meitiv? Meaning, so far what we discussed in Tosfos and in the Rashbam is, does the second bottle of wine have to be better or worse? We discussed whether or not you could say this alone or you can only say it with others. But the obvious question, the simple question is, why is there this bracha? Meaning, I'm drinking something better. Okay, good. We're all happier. And therefore, we're going to make a tov ha-meitiv. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you can make this argument with any food that you eat. In other words, if we're going to bring out another food and it's better, all right, let's say a new piece of meat comes out to the table and it's better than the first piece of meat. So why don't we also make a bracha tov ha'meitiv? Quite stated simply, what is unique about wine that the rabbis instituted that we're going to make a special bracha in the middle of a meal that signifies that we're now having another bottle of wine and it's a better bottle of wine. Why wine? Okay, so this is where Tosus discusses this. Tosus also discusses this in brachas as well. V'davka b'yayim mevarchim lefisha zivlu kameim b'demeim shal Yisrael v'atov shlo yisricho v'ameitiv shenisna l'kvura. Fascinating. Tosus says it's based on a Gemara in Brachos that teaches us the following. You know the four brachas of benching, right? Truth be told is that really there are three brachas of benching in the Torah, and the Chachamim added a fourth bracha of benching. So the three brachas of benching take us to Bona Berachamav Yushalayim Amen. Okay, that's the end of bracha. That's the end of benching. We know this because the Amen at the end, we say that even if we're benching to ourselves, meaning it's one of the, for Ashkenazim, it's one of the only times, it's the only time that we're answering Amen to our own bracha. And what follows after that is an addendum. The Chachamim added a bracha to benching. So what is that bracha? It's a long version of Hatov HaMeitiv. Hatov HaMeitiv is basically a longer version of this, the bracha that we say, the fourth bracha of benching, HaKel Avinu Malkeinu Adorinu Boreinu, and it seems to go on. First of all, it ends with the words Al Yichasreinu, and it really is just an extended version of Hatov HaMeitiv. Why did the Chachamim institute that bracha? So the Gemara tells us in Brachos, because of what happened in Beitar. Beitar, which was about 60 years after the Churban by Sheni, destruction of the Second Temple. So we made one last attempt to overthrow the Roman. It was an unsuccessful attempt. They killed everybody, and the last stand was in the city of Beitar, and thousands upon thousands of Jews died. And so one of the things the Romans wanted to do to try to punctuate the whole moment was to prevent the burial of the bodies of all those who died in Beitar. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did as a nes is that the bodies did not decay or decompose. Okay. This is an event that took place in Beitar. It really was almost, if you will say, the punctuation of the Churban by Sheni. Meaning even though it took place 60, 70 years later, it really was the punctuation of the Churban by Sheni. And as a result of that, the Chachamim said, although it was extraordinarily sad, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided an ace. So in response to that, the Chachamim added a bracha to benching. Right? Back in brachas, if I remember correctly. But I quoted the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma explains beautifully why it is that they attached it to benching. Meaning of all the places to attach the bracha, why specifically benching? There's a Meshech Chachma that explains it beautifully. But in the meantime, however, that Hatov HaMeitiv is added to benching as a response to the miracle that took place in Beitar. So what Tosus over here invokes is basically the same idea. It's interesting. It'll like make you look at drinking wine in the middle of the meal all over again. But basically, says Tosfos, that when we're drinking wine, it also reminds us of the episode in Beitar. In fact, Tosfos says that what there was so much death and destruction in Beitar that all the blood, it's a terrible image, but all the blood that of all the soldiers that died in Beitar was able to fertilize the vineyards that were adjacent to the battle scene. And so the drinking of wine reminds us of the blood. It's really, it's almost powerful. The drinking of the wine reminds us of the blood, and the Chachamim added Hatova HaMeitiv to the end of benching as a response to Beitar. They also added Hatova HaMeitiv every time we drink wine as well. That's Tosfos' explanation in terms of why it is Hatova HaMeitiv was said specifically over the introduction of a new bottle of wine in the middle of a meal. Okay. Adkan, that takes us that was a side to the Gemara of Tov HaMeitiv, a very interesting Tosfos. And now we are back into the Gemara Meisvei. And now it's going to be one long run on sentence, but challenge to Rav Yochanan. Well, this part actually is going to go very quickly because the Gemara is going to end up just simply rejecting Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that when you're Mishana Malkum, that when you change your place, you don't have to make a new bracha. So says Rav Yochanan. And as the Rashman points out, Rav Yochanan doesn't just say that by wine. He says that, truth be told, by pretty much anything. To which the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges. The Gemara says, Shinu emakum tzarech levarech. Shinu yayin ain tzarech levarech. that if I'm Mishana Makom, if I change my Makom, I have to make a new bracha. If I change my wine, I don't have to make a new bracha. This just simply refutes the position of Rav Yochanan to Rav Yochanan. Okay, that's the end of Rav Yochanan's position. The Gemara ends up rejecting Rav Yochanan's position that when you Mishana Makom, that when you change place, you have to make a new. He says you don't have to make a new bracha. The Brisa says you do. The Gemara says, okay, end of that. Yosef Rav Yidi Bar Avin Kamei Derav Chesiv Yosef Rav Chesiv Kamei Mishmei Derav Hu Nahad Amashinu Malkim Tzorach Lavarech Lo Shanu Alam Mibayis Labayis. That's only true if we're going to go from one house to another house. Avam Mimakom Lamakom. Now in our Gemara we have the Girsa of Mimakom Lamakom. If you look at the side of the Gemara, so it's a Mipina Lapina. If you're going from one corner of the house to the other corner of the house, meaning I'm not even changing rooms, I'm going just simply from one corner to another, Lo. So then you don't have to make a new bracha. Meaning we're just simply giving a definition of what is shinui makom. Shinui makom means I'm going moving from one house to another. So amalei rav yidi bar avin hachi tani lei b'masnisa debei rav hinik v'amalei lei b'masnisa debei rav hinik havasech. And the Gemara says, and we have a brace, so that goes exactly like you. V'ela rav huna masnisa kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If this is a brace, so Rav Huna, you're an Amora. What are you doing? You're just teaching us something that we already learned from a Braisa. Rav Huna, Masisa Lo Shmielei. So the Gemara says that Rav Huna just didn't know about this Braisa. He didn't hear the Braisa. Right? We've said this many times. Braisos were outside, meaning that's the whole definition of a Braisa. They were Bara. So it's possible that he never heard of this Braisa. Fine. V'su Yasav Rav Chisav Kamei Mishmei Danav Shehadam Hashinu Makam Tzarech Lavarech Lamar Nal Badvan Shein Tuna Brach Lacharim Bim Komam. I know that's a long sentence, and we're going to keep repeating that sentence over and over again. But basically, let me explain it like this. Now, I'm going to give you a very simple version of what the Gemara means. I'm going to give you the Rashbam's version of what the Gemara means. Not all Rishonim agree with the Rashbam, but for our purposes, I will present the Gemara simply like the Rashbam, which is, as we pointed out, going to be our main commentary as we run through the 10th parak of Pesachim. The idea that Mishana Malkum have to make a new bracha, right? And the Gemara says basically that's our starting point. I change location. Now we talked about the definition. In other words, I move to a new house. Could be I'm even moving to another room. Okay? And that's the Gemara. We just read it in the Gemara. That's also not abundantly clear what exactly it means to move to a new Malkum. But for our purposes, let's just simply say, you move to a new house and you're going to eat a food again, and even if it's the same food, you have to make a new bracha. Meaning this is the concept of shinui makom. And what's behind the concept of shinui makom is very simple. When you move to a new location, you're hesach hadas, meaning you just had an interruption of your thought. Meaning when I'm making a bracha, I'm thinking now I'm going to eat this food. And it's very simple, especially if I'm staying in the same spot. It's very easy to keep my mind on the food. However, if I move to a new location, I've just experienced hesach hadas, meaning I just had an interruption of mindset, and so therefore I have to make a new bracha. Good, that's the basic idea of shinui makom. Good. Now what the Gemara is telling us, the Gemara is quoting it in the name of Rav Chisda, and that is not always when I'm mishana makom, when I change my place, I have to make a new bracha. For example, if I'm bound to come back here again, if something is going to tether me to this location, so therefore I don't have to make a new bracha when I change location, because I know I'm going to come back over here. This is the idea of basically being tethered to a location. So, in fact, let me just read one more line of Gemara. Ein tzarech lavarech, I don't have to make a new bracha. My time lekiva'a kama hadar, because I got to come back here. Now, first of all, what's the Gemara talking about when it says that there are certain foods that tether you? So, to start the discussion, I'm going to quote the Rashbam, who quotes the Gemara in Brachos. If you take a look at the Rashbam, Matvar Matunim Brach La'Acharim Bim Komam. Certain foods that require you to bench, and I said that I gave it away, but that's fine. I don't mind. But there are certain foods where I have to come back to the same place where I started eating. Klomar. I'm reading the Rashbam. The Rashbam is about 8 lines down after the lines start getting wide. Klomar bracha chashuva bifnei atzum shrichim bim komam kigon shiva saminim. Okay, and I told you, we're just going to go with the Rashbam for this morning. So for as an example, the Rashbam says the shiva saminim. Shiva saminim, any one of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, including chita usa'ora, chita sa'ora, 2 of the 7 fruits. I know we don't view wheat and barley as a fruit. And by the way, when we say wheat and barley, included in wheat and barley is also spelled oats and rye, meaning the chamesh etzaminim, right? The Gemara in Pesachim. We are in the Gemara in Pesachim. Okay, that was very smart of me. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us how chit and sar are like the main categories. And then underneath you have the other three grains. Don't ask me right now which falls under which category, but okay, anyway, but the chit and saora together with the five fruits of Eretz Yisrael, so they represent the Shiva Saminim. If I eat any one of those foods, which obviously include bread, so the halacha is that I got to come back to the same location to make a bracha achrona. Meaning so that even if I'm eating, if let's say I have a sandwich in this room, or grapes, or pomegranate, any one of the, it doesn't matter, any one of the zayin minim, I eat in this room, I walk out of this room, I walk out of the building, the halacha demands that I come back here to make a bracha achrona. The Rashbam writes this straight out. I don't have to make any more brachas. In other words, when I move to a new location, I have to make a new bracha rishona, and when I leave here, I don't have to make a new bracha. I don't have to make a bracha achrona. So, and why should that be? And now the Rashbam quotes that Mishnah brachos. Now it's true that according to Beis Hillel, right? He's quoting the Gemara in brachos. If I bench somewhere else, I fulfill my obligation of benching, but lichatchila, meaning the correct thing to do is to come back to your original location and to bench in your original location. So b'shivas amin amari, de'ika kein berachas amazon, bracha achrita, v'chashivusa, main shalosh. And the Rashbam says, although the Mishnah over there was talking about benching, but included in benching is bracha achas me'ein shalosh, what we call an ala mechia. Although it's not limited to ala mechia, it could also be over eights. Meaning anything that requires either the benching or bracha achas mein shalosh is going to require me to come back here. And because I'm tethered to this location, so therefore no new brachas need to be made, even if I move to another location, because the halacha demands that I come back over here. All this was stated by Rav Chista. This is so far all the opinion of Rav Chista. Rav Sheshe Samar, back to the Gemara, a dissenting view. I have to make a new bracha under any circumstance. It doesn't matter. Meisvei, the Gemara now is going to challenge, and here we're going to see two lengthier brisas. Brisa number one, Meisvei. Let's say there was a group of people and they were all sitting down to drink. Now the key word over here is mesubin. Well, actually there are a couple key words. Mesubin means we were reclining. The word reclining gives the indication that we were having a serious meal. Now I know it says mesubin lishtos, that we were drinking, but maybe the shti over here could be a reference to wine. The akru raglehem. The Gemara is going to actually key in on those words of the Braisa. And we uprooted ourselves. The idea of uprooting ourselves means that we're really here, meaning we are kind of tethered to this location. And why do all of us, oddly enough, pick ourselves up and move to a new location? Let's say it's likras chasan, likras kala. So let's say chasan kala, right? And we want to greet them, bring joy to them, maybe even dance with them. I know you can't. It's hard to visualize me running out of the room and start dancing with a chasan and kala, right, on a random Monday morning. But the idea is that we had a good reason why all of us just picked ourselves up and walked out. Ain intuna brachla mafre, kishen chozrin, ain tuna brachla chatchila. We don't need to make a new bracha. Meaning we don't need to make a new bracha achrona as we're leaving. In our joy, someone there is sound enough and halachically sensitive enough to remind us, hey, wait a second, we're eating right now, or in this case, we're drinking right now. Let's first make a bracha achrona and then run out. No, you don't have to do that, says the Braisa. Or when we come back in, someone says, oh, we have to make a bracha rishona. Braisa says, you don't have to do that as well. So in other words, the Braisa says that even though we're picking up and walking out of the room, and even though we're going to come back here, there's no brachas required. That first bracha we made at the very beginning of the meal will cover us. However, concludes the Braisa, one proviso, and it's not a small one, there has to be someone left in this room. Right? The Braisa describes it as being either zaken or chola. Meaning really, truth be told, is that everyone really should pick themselves and go out. But there was somebody who was older or somebody infirmed, whatever the case was, somebody was left in this room, then all brachas are off. However, if everybody picked themselves up and everybody walked out of the room, new brachas are going to be required. A new bracha achron as we leave the room, a new bracha rishon as we come back into the room. Good. That's the Braisa. What do you see from this Braisa? The Gemara spells it out. Midik taniakru raglay mechal dibidvar matun and brach lachrem bim koma maskina. First of all, I told you, the Gemara is going to key in on those words, akru raglayhem. They uprooted their legs. That means that they were eating something substantial. Something that would require them to make a bracha achrona in the same place where they started the meal. Right? Let's say wine. For our purposes, let's just simply say they were drinking wine. Make it nice and easy. The time of the nichusham zaken echola who dekshen yotzin into a bracha lamafer dekshen chosin into a bracha lechatchila, and the only reason why no new bracha is required is because somebody was left in the room. However, it's clear from the brisa that if everybody picked up and everybody walked out and everybody came back in again, a new bracha is going to be required. Of alo nichusham zaken echola dekshen yotzin into a bracha lamafer dekshen chosin into a bracha lechatchila kasha l'rav chista. That was a long sentence, but basically, from the Braisa, from the analysis of the Braisa, from the simple diuk in the Braisa, it sounds very clear that even though we're eating something that is substantial, that's going to require us to come back here anyway, if we all pick ourselves up and leave the room and come back, we're going to have to make new brachos. And that is contrary to the position of Rav Chista, because Rav Chista was that argument which is that the bracha tethers us to this location. The fact that we got to come back here anyway to make the bracha achrona tethers us to this location, and the brisa seems to say no. So this brisa is difficult against the position of Rav Chista. Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak is now going to defend Rav Chista. Man Tana Akiros Rabbi Yehuda Hi. Or Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, I just added a word to the Gemara. So who's the author of this Braisa? The author of this Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And now what we're going to do is we're going to quote a second Braisa. The second Braisa is basically going to go over the same case scenario, but it will be clear that the Braisa that we quoted on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis goes in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Chachamim. And so therefore, all we're simply going to say is, Rav Chista doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chista holds like the Chachamim. Let's see the Braisa inside. We're in Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. We're at the top line. If I have a group of people who are sitting down again, akru raglayim, that's the key words over there. And they're going to shul, they're going to the Beis Medrash. In the middle of the meal, right? Mincha. Okay, all right, guys, it's time for mincha. Let's go. We all pick ourselves up, we all go to mincha. So, kishen yotzin into a bracha mafer, kishen chosin into a bracha lechatchila. How about new brachas? The Braisa says, no, not necessary. We got to come back anyway. So no new brachos are required. We didn't have a hesach hadas. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Here we go. That was all the Tanakama. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ba medvar mamor bizman shenichu sham mikzat chavim avalo yenichu sham mikzat chavim. Kishen yotzin tun brachol mafer, kishen chosin tun brachol chatchila. Rabbi Yehuda says, I only agree that we don't need to make new brachos if we leave somebody here in the room. But if all of us pick ourselves up and go to shul, and all of us come back from shul, we need to make new brachas. Ad kan divrei habraisa. What is clear from this braisa is that this idea that someone has to be left behind in order to obviate the need of brachos, that is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So in Rav Chista's defense, it's a very easy defense and it's a very good defense. In Rav Chista's defense, we're just going to simply say, it's clear from this braisa that Rav Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama. Yes, we quoted a braisa on the previous Amud, but that braisa is in accordance with Rav Yehuda, and Rav Chista just simply agrees with the Tanakama. Period. End of the defense. Wonderful. So, Ela time of dibidvar matun and brachla acharim and koman kshen yotzin and tun brachla mafreya ukshen chosin and tun brachla chatchila. Aval dvarim she ain't tun and brachla acharim bim kamam. Afil the rabbanan kshen yotzin tun brachla mafreya kshen chosin tun brachla chatchila. The Gemara makes an additional diuk from the Braisa, which is, what were they eating? We're talking now about the top Braisa on this Amud. What were they eating? Substantial food. By substantial food, I mean food where we have to come back here to make a bracha achrona. Again, let's just simply say the Gemara like the Rashbam. We're talking about either bread or anything that requires an ala micha or ala eitz. So things are which are going to come, have us force us come back here and eat again. That is all according to this Braisa that we just learned. And what does that show us? Lema tiavit, you have to derav Yochanan. Once again, let's refute the position of Yochanan. Now, I know this takes us back all the way to the beginning of today's daf, and where Rav Yochanan says that if you change your place, you don't have to make a new bracha, period. That was Rav Yochanan. Now, if you remember, what do we do once Rav Yochanan espouses his opinion? We said, right, with all respect to Rav Yochanan, it's not accepted. Not accepted position. meaning, and we already quoted a brisa. So the Gemara says, so what are you doing over here? Meaning, Rav Yochanan was already tackled, right? This is like, right, this is a pylon. This is, right, this is roughing, this may be a personal foul. In other words, what's going on over here? We already refuted the position of Rav Yochanan. V'lav miosvina chad azimna, have we already not refuted him one time? So name ameha namin etevetiyof. So the Gemara says, you're right. And you're right. But at least, let's just read the braisa that we just read on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, and let's just note, meaning, you're right, it's not a pylon. But let's just note that this braisa also seems to be going against Rav Yochanan, meaning it's just a simple reading of the braisa. So,
how could Rav Yochanan not be aware of two braisa that were against
him? Right. No,
he's a major amor.
Correct.
Trumps everybody.
I don't know.
Right.
You're right. In this particular case, I don't know. So Rav Yochanan says, look, in other words, and the Gemara is not even quoting Rav Yochanan, meaning, let's at least defend Rav Yochanan. Now, this is an interesting defense of Rav Yochanan because we know we're not going to resurrect his position. His position has been rejected. But in the very least, however, we could read this Braisa, and we don't have to refute Rav Yochanan from this Braisa, because here, we could really argue that, according to Rav Yochanan, according to the Tanna Kamma, you never need to make a new bracha. And it doesn't matter whether it's a substantial food or an insubstantial food. You never need to make a new bracha with a shinui makom. V'hadei tani akru raglayim. And even though the Braisa uses the words akru raglayim, which is code for substantial food, food that's going to require us to come back here and to make a bracha achron over here, food that tethers us, why did the Braisa say that? Odicha kochad Rav Yehuda. Just to simply explain how much Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda so strongly disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. Even if it's a tethering food, even if it's a food which anyway is going to pull you back to the same location which you ate, still Rav Yehuda says, I need new brachas. And the only thing that will save you from new brachas, says Rav Yehuda, is to leave somebody behind. But if nobody's left behind, even if it's a substantial food, I still, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I still am going to need to make new brachas when I'm eating in a new location or even when I come back. Ad kan. So all we did over here is perhaps defend Rav Yochanan, at least from this most recent braisa.
So if you don't, you have to do bracha.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara points out, the Rav Chisda doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint, and as the Braisa on the very top of the Amud says, the Tanna Kamma disagrees with the Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Yehuda, you will, but as we'll see in just a moment, it's not going to seem like how the Gemara is going to conclude. And finally, to end the discussion, Tanya Kavasid Rav Chisda, I told you, it's one long run-on sentence. From nearly where we started today to right now, it's nearly one long run-on sentence. Tanya Kavasid Rav Chisda. The Gemara finally has a Braisa that supports Rav Chisda. Chavim Shayu Mesum L'Shtos Yayin. If I have a group of friends who are drinking, who are sitting down to drink wine, and again, we're talking about mesubim, the reclining, and over here the Braisa spells it out, we're talking about wine. So you see that it's a davar chashuv, it's significant. It's one of the foods that's going to require bracha achas main shalosh, right? Ala gefen v'apriya gefen. V'alkru ragleim v'chazru. They lift their feet up and they have to go, and they come back. Ein tzrichim levarach. They don't have to make a new bracha. And again, the idea is that if I have to bench or if I say bracha achas main shalosh, it tethers me. Anyway, lechatchila, I have to come back to the same location in order to bench or to make the bracha achrona. And because it tethers me, so therefore, even if I move to a new location, I know I'm tethered to my original location. Therefore, I did not have any hesech hadas. Therefore, when I leave and when I come back, no new bracha is required. That is the opinion of Rav Chisda. We propose that the Tanna Kamma agrees with Rav Chisda. We just quoted a braisa on the bottom of Kuv Beis Amud Aleph that supports Rav Chisda. The Rashbam says the halacha is like Rav Chisda. The Gemara doesn't speak in terms of time elements. I know the halacha speaks in terms of 72 minutes for, right? But by the way, that's right. Okay. But the Gemara here doesn't speak about time elements. All right. Ad kan, meaning that was the end of a very long sentence of the Gemara. Okay. And it all all was as a result of Rav Yochanan saying that any shinui makom doesn't require new bracha. And the Gemara now basically says, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, to Yufta, his position has been rejected. We're left with two opinions, Rav Chista and Rav Huna, and it sounds like from the Gemara that Rav Chista is the accepted position. You have to. The halacha is going to help your intention. Meaning, because the halacha is telling you, right, when you're eating bread or when you're eating, right, in any of the shiva minyan, the halacha tells you, you got to come back here. So once you, the halacha creates a mindset, uh-huh. Right? Correct. Everyone's got to come back. That's correct. In other words, the halacha tethers you to this location, and because it does, so therefore no new brachas are required. Not when you walk out of the room, not when you come back in the room, because you know you got to come back here in order to mention. Yeah, in other words, well, if you're done, let's say you're done, right? So you're going to...
You're not sure if you're coming back.
So you're right. In other words, correct. In other words, the correct thing to do is make a bracha achrona. Okay? Right, let's say you have a meal, it happens, let's be honest. Let's say you have a meal and you forgot to bench. So the best thing to do, the right thing to do is to go back to your original location. Now sometimes your memory is after you started driving away. Okay, and now Beis Hillel does say that bidyavid, if you bench in another location, you fulfilled your obligation. But really the best thing to do, meaning the correct thing to do, is to go back. Okay. Anyway, that is the end of the discussion of Shinu and Malcolm. It came up over here as a result of a tangent, meaning the Gemara discussed this idea of making Kiddush and Shul, and in what ways is it effective? Rav Yochanan introduced the most radical viewpoint, which is you never have to make new brachas when you change location. And so the Gemara took about a daf of our perek discussing this idea of Shinu and Malcolm. Okay, we return. Not back to Psachim, but back to the ideas of Kiddush. Okay, and we're back now to discussing our meal on Friday afternoon. I told you this is a topic that comes up already a number of times in our 10th parak. It's going to come up again. You're eating on Friday afternoon. Okay, I already suggested a couple scenarios. Why would you be eating on Friday afternoon? It's not recommended, even though the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, even though it's not forbidden to eat on Friday afternoon, but certainly not recommended. You know Shabbos is coming, you know you're going to be having a big meal tonight. Fine. We come back to the topic of discussion. We're on the very bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph Tan Rabbanan. B'nei chabur shayu mistubim v'kiddush aleihem hayom mi'vien lo kosh shel yayin v'omer lav kiddushas hayom. Vesheni Omar Alav Birchas Amazon Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Can I do one thing? No, let me not. Let me go on in the Gemara. Okay, next cycle of Daf Yomi. Ask me about whether or not. Don't ask me. It's right. 7 years from now, the second to last Tosfos is on the Samud. Very interesting. It has that discussion of if I daven in the middle of a meal, does that represent the hefsek of my meal? Meaning, is that going to... Tosa's answer, it doesn't. The halacha is, it doesn't. But it is very interesting. In other words, there's a lot to discuss over there. Huh?
It depends where you're davening. Davening in shul or shul.
Oh, right. In other words, even if you go to shul, but you know you have to come back over here. But let's even say you're davening at home. So Tosa has a discussion. I know it's a short Tosa, but there's a lot of issues to be discussing over here, because you can't physically daven and eat at the same time. So why doesn't davening represent a hefsek in the middle of your meal? So Tosfos quickly discusses that. Okay, I'll tell you, when we get to Chulin, how about that? We won't have to wait 7.5 years, halfway through, 3 years from now when we get to Chulin, so we'll discuss it, obviously. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara, because we have a chance really to catch our way back. Tanu Rabbanan b'nei Chabur sheyu mesubim v'kiddush aleihem hayom. So I have a group, and now it's Friday afternoon, and Friday afternoon turns into Shabbos. Me'vien lo kosh shel yayin ve'omer alav kedushas hayom v'sheni omer alav birchas hamazon divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what do you do? So in other words, you got to stop, says Rabbi Yehuda. Stop in the middle of the meal. Now this is going to require you to have two cups of wine. One cup of wine over your benching. I know a lot of us are not used to it, benching over a cup of wine. In fact, I missed an opportunity over Sukkos. Baruch Hashem, I had a large meal in my house. We had 10 people. We benched. I forgot the cup of wine. I'm just not used to it. In other words, and some people have a cup of wine over when three people are eating together. And there's actually an opinion in the Rishonim that even if you're eating by yourself, you have to have a cup of wine. But anyway, but the benching requires a cup of wine, meaning it's kosher bracha. You're about to bench. So to honor benching, so a cup of wine for benching. So fine. So according to Rav Yehuda, so bench. So you're going to need a cup of wine for benching. And you're also going to need a cup of wine for Kiddush as well. Two cups. Dear Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So, by the way, in our Gemara, it sounds like the Kiddush comes before the benching. If you take a look at the Rashbam, perhaps the Girsha should be flipped. Either way, two cups of wine. Right now, that's the critical point. Rav Yossi Omer, Ochem Holech Hashetach Shach. So Rav Yossi said, now this is the same Rav Yossi that we started the 10th Perek learning, and that is you don't need to stop. Right? Remember that story we had in the beginning of the 10th Perek, where Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda were eating together. It was Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon turned into Friday night. And the question was, should we stop? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was at that meal, asked the question, should we stop to bench and make Kiddush? And Rav Yossi says, well, why would you do that? I'm here. You know my opinion. So anyway, so the Rav Yossi over here is consistent with what he said all the way back in the beginning of the 10th Perek. So Rav Yossi Omer, Ochel V'Holech Ad Shetach Shach. If you keep eating until it gets dark, Gamru Kos Rishon, Mevarech Alav Birchas Hamazon, V'Hasheni Omer Alav Kedushas Hayom. And the question I posed in the beginning of the 10th Perek, but here the Gemara says it straight out. According to Rav Yossi, what's proper procedure? Well, let's finish the meal, let's bench, and let's say Kiddush. Good.
Is that meal that they ate count as a suda?
Yes. Yes. In other words, right, Ben's question is, what is that meal now? So Rav Yossi's position, I'm not sure if I really articulated this well, Rav Yossi's position is that Shabbos transforms the meal. Meaning, Rav Yossi doesn't require Kiddush in the middle of the meal because the meal automatically turns into a Shabbos meal. Right? That's,
so you could get a medicated Kiddush after the meal.
That's exactly what Rav Yossi says. So Gamru Kos Rishon Mevarech Alav Birchas Hamazon V'Hasheni Omer Alav Kedushas Hayom. Rav Yossi agrees with Rav Yehuda, you need two cups of wine. It's just that happens to be that Rav Yossi says, not in the middle of the meal, don't do that. Don't stop the meal, don't bench, don't make Kiddush, none of that's necessary. You just continue eating, Ochel V'Holech, Ad Shetach Shach, there's no Hafsaka requirement, you don't have to stop in the middle of the meal, and what you'll do is you'll bench, and then after benching, you'll make Kiddush.
After benching, you say, what can I give him for the cup? Right.
Correct. In other words,
another one.
And then you're going to make another bor pir guffin. Why? Because one cup is for benching, and the other cup is for Kiddush. Okay. Now, Ben, you're entitled to ask your question. I mean, you're always entitled, but you're entitled to ask your question, which is, what about Kiddush b'makom suda?
Right.
And what's interesting over here is it certainly sounds like Kiddush b'makom suda can work in either direction.
Uh-huh.
That's what it sounds like from our Gemara. Because, in other words, usually Kiddush B'Makom Suda means what? Means that the only way Kiddush is going to work is that if I have Kiddush and then followed by meal. If I have Kiddush and there's no meal, that's not Kiddush. That's the whole idea of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Over here, what's happening? What's happening is, I ate, we bench, we're making Kiddush. So Ben's question was, what about Kiddush B'Makom Suda? And so what it seems like from our Gemara over here is that the Gemara doesn't ask and answer. So all I'm doing is just asking and answering, but it seems like the proper conclusion, Kiddush B'makom Suda over here works just in the reverse. That's what it seems like.
So I couldn't check how you see it. You do the bigger ones and you do the Kiddush, another Kiddush, and then drop.
Yeah.
No
Suda after the Kiddush. Right. Correct. Now, Stu, this may go back to our Rashbam that we talked about earlier. The two reasons behind Kiddush B'makom Suda, right? What's driving? What's driving Kiddush B'makom Suda? Is it the Suda driving the Kiddush or the Kiddush driving the Suda? But okay. Anyway, we for a different time, for a different discussion.
Now, you're saying because there was a Suda already.
Yeah, you had your Suda already. Now, the Amai V'Nemer L'Tavai Achad Akasa. The Gemara over here is bothered by a simple question. Simple question, profound answer. And that is, in other words, you know you're going to bench. You know you're going to make Kiddush. So why not bundle? In other words, take your Kiddush requirement, take your benching requirement, and bundle it over one cup. This question is who? A quote for Rabbi Yossi or geared to Rabbi Yehuda? So the So the Rashbam says this question is really geared to Rabbi Yossi, not to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? What's the difference? So the Rashbam explains because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're really stopping in the middle of the meal. When I say stop, I mean you're about to bench. The table is going to be taken away. Meaning from Rabbi Yehuda's standpoint, the Gemara is not even entertaining the idea that let's bundle everything over one cup of wine. Really, the benching and the Kiddush are really two different activities. The question really is geared towards Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says at the end, you know you're going to be attaching Kiddush onto benching, so just simply bundle. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, Ein Amrim Shei Kiddushos Alakos. So the Gemara's answer to that question is no. And why no? Because my time, the Gemara spells it out. Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Lefishe Nos, the Mitzvot, Chavilos, we don't want to bundle our Mitzvot together. In other words, I think this is just intuitively speaks to all of us. The idea is that a mitzvah is significant. We want to give each mitzvah proper respect. If what I decide is, hey, look, I'm gonna bench and make kiddush, right? The halacha demands that I have to do both. So just bundle. Answer is the Gemara. We don't do that. We don't bundle. Bundling is inappropriate. Einos and mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. We want to give each mitzvah its proper respect.
Somebody make hamotzi and they go to the bathroom. They do nitzah. Then after they come to the bathroom, there's one nitzah. Then cover.
Right. I don't know. Right. The Shulchan Aruch discusses that, but I don't know if that falls under this category. But the basic idea is because over here it's, in other words, we can conserve a cup of wine, which is great. Not at the expense of a mitzvah. That's basically what the Gemara says. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says, you come home from Shul on Motzei Shabbos. And what do? You have wine, you have fire, you have besamim. And then, now what if I only have one cup? Which means now I only have one cup of wine. And what do I want to do tonight? Well, I want to make Havdalah. I also want to have Malava Malka, right? Of course. Okay. I need, that's another, I have a lot of personal confessions today. I need to be more careful about Malava Malka, but you want to have a Malava Malka. So the Gemara says, La'achar Amazon, Umishal Shalan Kulan La'acharav. So the Braisa says, so here's what you'll do. You'll bundle. Meaning I only have one cup of wine. So what I'll do is, knowing that I only have one cup of wine, I'll wash, I'll bench, I'll make Havdalah all over one cup of wine, I'll bundle. But the Gemara is posing that this as like it's a question. And the Gemara's answer is very straightforward, ain't lo shani. Yeah, but the Braisa kind of telegraphs its punch. Meaning the Braisa is telling us that you only have one cup of wine. Good, if you only have one cup of wine, and you know you're going to need to make Havdalah, and you know you're going to need to bench, so then, yes, then in that case, of course you bundle together, because ain't low, because all you have is one cup of wine. But you're in the fortunate situation of life where you can afford, or you have two cups of wine, ain't osi mitzvot chavilos chavilos, so we don't want you to bundle your mitzvot together. Okay.
We do that also on when we transition from Yom Tov, from Shabbat to Yom Tov, the second night, it's like a Havdalah embedded in the Kiddush, right?
Okay, that's correct.
One cup of wine.
You forecasted the very next Gemara. We're going to stop over here. Well, tomorrow we'll pick it up right from the High Yom Tov Shechal Yosachar Shabbos. Okay, you did an excellent job forecasting, and I will tease that for till tomorrow morning. Okay, a long discussion of the Gemara today about Shinui Makom, positions of Rav Yochanan, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, in terms of when Shinui Makom is going to require bracha or not. The Gemara seems to side, and the Rashbam's conclusion is the halacha goes like Rav Chista, that as long as the halacha tethers me to this location, so that means now that I don't need to make new brachas, neither when I leave nor when I come back in again. But if the halacha doesn't tether me, meaning I'm having any shahako food and I have a shinui makom, so then I'm going to need to make a new bracha. I have oversimplified the halacha. You gotta look into the halacha in terms of when exactly new brachas are required. But that's basically the conclusion from the first part of today's daf. The Gemara then today goes back to the discussion of the Friday afternoon transitioning into Shabbos, and you're in the middle of the meal discussion. What do I do? Again, we review the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, and then it spurred the discussion of halachas like Rav Yossi, and then it spurred the discussion of do I bundle mitzvahs together? The Gemara is emphatic. We do not bundle mitzvahs together. The one exception would be where I only have one cup of wine. So then I can't, then I just have no other option. And Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. Tomorrow, the famous Yaknahaz, Yan Kishner Avdol Zman, that comes up in tomorrow's daf. Okay, this is all, you know, halacha lamaisa, practical halacha. Mind you, by the way, that we are not doing a good job in terms of treating the halacha, but that's part of daf yomi, meaning we have to cover the ground of the daf. Ad Kan.